Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide, the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Monday, March 6, 2023. Glad to have you along with you on with us on another week. Back to school, back to work. On the board, on the production, and on the engineering, Mr. Aaron Zommers. Mr. Zommers, good morning.
Good morning, Todd. How are you doing?
I'm well. I got a little sleep last night. Mom came down to, we met in Cross Plains, took a little walk along the creek down there. A little windy, but got some fresh air and also got some Culver's. So you spend some calories, you gotta take in some calories. So that was nice to see her and hang out a little bit. And then got an unexpected invitation from my friends Jonathan and Allison Klein and went over to their beautiful Middleton home. And we watched the Wisconsin Badgers actually get a win last night along with their fine son Parker, who, by the way, is quite the basketball player himself. He is just a teenager, not even high school yet, but doing great. So some of the highlights from his basketball tournament over the weekend. And also their daughter, the lovely and talented Lauren, is down competing in a dance competition in Orlando, Florida.
Wow.
At Walt Disney World. I believe they came in second. And they're darn good. So, I got to hang out with them a little bit last night. And, all in all, can't complain. It was a good weekend. How about yourself?
I had a pretty good weekend, too. I went to Manitowoc again because I was playing drums in a worship band.
Nice.
With some people who I used to play with when I was, like, 12.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It went really well. Believe it or not, living in an apartment, I don't get to play drums very often.
Mm-hmm.
But, kind of like riding a bike, at least, that I, after a little while rehearsing, I did feel pretty good about it. So
sweet. Well, good. Had some family time. Got to perform a little bit of the drums. That's awesome. A full weekend indeed. And I should tell you, the deals are in the works. Agents are being talked to. Worked on a segment for this summer. I can't discuss it yet. The deal's not closed, but I can tell you it's going to be spectacular. So hang on to your hats for that this summer. Be a great segment. We'll have a weekly Parks and Rec segment. That's about as much as I can say. But we'll have more later for you on as the show progresses. Today coming up, I want to play for you. We'll look at a couple of issues this morning, but one of them, and one of the beauties about having a long-form program like this, having 3 hours with you each and every day, we can delve into things that maybe normally wouldn't be able to on short-form radio or television. Many of you will remember the name Jon Stewart. He hosted The Daily Show on Comedy Central for years, and then, of course, stepped down and turned the show over to Trevor Noah, who himself has just stepped down. But he is also friends, Jon Stewart is, with Stephen Colbert. And he has appeared on The Late Show a few times as actually one of the producers or executive producers of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. But Jon Stewart has a new program on Apple TV. I believe they're entering their second season called The Problem with Jon Stewart. And yes, they do a little bit of what would be considered a comedic bit at the beginning of the show. But what it really is are these in-depth interviews with fascinating people on issues, hot issues of the day. And they're great. And we're going to play for you today a segment that Apple TV has released over the weekend of Jon Stewart interviewing a Republican state senator who I believe is from Oklahoma. And he has a bill in their state legislature to get rid of all gun control laws. His idea is that more guns make our communities and our country safer. And we're going to play, it's about a 7 minute or so clip. And if you want to know how to hold a legislator or a lawmaker accountable, you're going to find out today. We're going to play Jon Stewart's masterclass on interviewing later on in the program. Also, it is Women's History Month. now that we are into March, going to take a moment to remember my late grandmother, Marge Wallace, who would have been 103 today. Happy birthday, Grandma. We know you're looking down on us. And she was the first woman to serve as a dean of a UW institution here in the state of Wisconsin. So we'll take a moment to remember her and talk a little bit about women's history as well and much more today on the show. But first of all, take a look at your weather forecast for today. Weatherology, Kara Foster coming up later on at the bottom of the hour from Weatherology. And she, of course, had a birthday on Friday. She'll be back with us today. But the quick forecast for you for this morning for Richland Center, WRCE in southwest Wisconsin. Looks like patchy fog this morning, then cloudy skies in the afternoon, a high of 41 degrees in Richland Center. Not bad at all. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 28, and Tuesday, partly sunny, and a high of 41 degrees. Up in Wausau, WXCO, Bull Falls Radio for today, a wintry weather mix is on tap for today. Looks like a winter weather advisory in effect. Some freezing rain and drizzle. A high near 34 degrees today. Less than an inch of snow is possible, but it will make roads slickery. Then for tonight, snow will be coming to an end. Mostly cloudy later on. A low of 21. And then for tomorrow, Tuesday, partly sunny at a high of 38 degrees. Over at Amory, WLAK, Lake Air Radio Land in Amory today. Winter weather advisory as well. Less than a half an inch of accumulation possible today, but a wintry mix on tap. Again, that snow and freezing rain at times, a high of 34. Then for tonight, the precipitation will come to an end. Mostly cloudy skies, a low of 21. And tomorrow, Tuesday, partly sunny and a high near 38 degrees. That is your forecast. We're going to come back and talk some news headlines, what you need to know. Also, was down in Darlington this weekend. Had a friend's mother passed away and had lived a full life, but went down to Darlington. I haven't been in Darlington and Mineral Point in a while. Beautiful, beautiful area out there in southwest Wisconsin. Come back and take a look at your news with you after this. You're on the Todd Allball Show, and you're on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It is now 15 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock on a Monday, the 6th of March, 2023. Glad to have you along. Mr. Aaron Zommer is on the board and with you for another week. Looking forward to it. Should be a great week ahead. This first full week of March, and by the way, starting tomorrow, I should say as of tomorrow, 4 weeks exactly from the spring elections, April 4th. The election, of course, a big item on the ticket. Wisconsin State Supreme Court race featuring Progressive Judge Janet Protasiewicz, they call her Judge Janet in Milwaukee, taking on the conservative former Supreme Court Justice, Mr. Kelly, Dan Kelly, that is. And, of course, he's the guy who accepted six figures of Republican money to stop our votes in 2020.
What's wrong with that? He's just doing his job, I guess.
Right. Just want to keep reminding people of that. There is a choice. On April 4th, a judge with years of experience on the bench, a stellar record, a clean record, has said that she will support fair maps if a case is brought before her, will support women's reproductive rights. Great judge, Judge Janet Protasiewicz, and then you have Judge Dan Kelly, the guy who accepted over $100,000 of Republican money in 2020 to help consult and plan the alternate slate of electors for Wisconsin to steal the election in 2020 from Wisconsin voters. So there's your choices. It's a consequential election. Many places have allowed you to start voting now, early voting. So check that out. The main election, the April 4th election, coming up, the general election on April 4th, 1 month from tomorrow. What you need to know on this Monday, the 6th of March, 2023, your news headlines. The National Transportation Safety Board is sending investigators to Ohio today after a Norfolk freight train derailed there over a weekend. Yes, another one. Prompting calls to shelter in place before authorities announced the wreck was not hazardous. This comes just 1 month after another Norfolk Southern train derailment across the state of in East Palestine, Ohio. But the company, under intense scrutiny over the hazardous materials that seeped into the town, have now said they're looking at yet this other train derailment. After the latest incident, authorities yesterday at a news conference once again sought to assure the local community that the air, water, and soil are safe. Meanwhile, crews in East Palestine are still working to clear contaminated soil and liquid from the toxic wreck that occurred on February 3rd. Ukraine now. Overseas, intense fighting is raging around the city of Bakhmut in eastern Ukraine, where analysts assess that Russian forces were encircling Ukrainian units. This marks the first time in 8 months that the Russians are on the cusp of taking a Ukrainian city. Amid heightening tensions, the U.S. is also working with Ukrainian pilots to determine how long it would take to train them to fly F-16 fighter jets. Three sources briefed on the matter told CNN that negotiations are underway. While there is no indication at this time that flight training is yet started, the steps suggest the U.S. has not completely closed the door on providing F-16s. Ukraine has been pushing for the U.S. to provide fighter jets and stop Ukrainian officials from escalating their public lobbying campaign in recent days, arguing that they need the planes to defend against Russian missiles and drone attacks. Student loans. More than 40 million federal student loan borrowers could be eligible for up to $20,000 in debt forgiveness, but they will likely have to wait several more months before the Supreme Court rules on whether President Joe Biden can implement his proposed relief program. The Supreme Court heard oral arguments last week in two cases challenging Biden's student loan forgiveness program, but justices aren't expected to issue the decision until late June or early July. If the Supreme Court ultimately gives the student loan forgiveness program the green light, it's possible the government would begin issuing some debt cancellations fairly quickly. When the ruling comes, it will also determine when federal student loan payments, which have been paused due to the pandemic since March 2020, will restart. A top U.S. general visited Syria for the first time over the weekend and met with the U.S. troops. The U.S. maintains approximately 900 troops in Syria who are there as part of the campaign to defeat ISIS. In addition to meeting with the troops, U.S. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, inspected force protection measures, his spokesman said. The Syrian Foreign Ministry condemned what it called Miley's illegal visit to the U.S. military base, saying it was a flagrant violation of the country's sovereignty and territorial integrity. According to state news agency SANA, 2 weeks before Miley's visit, U.S. and coalition forces at Green Village in Syria came under rocket attack, according to U.S. Central Command. And finally, here's something I want to take a few minutes to talk about this morning and welcome your calls. If you want to call in and talk about the anniversary of Bloody Sunday, give us a call. Area code 715-388-7155 this morning. Won't cost you a dime. It's toll free. We set the number up just for you. Want you to participate. Welcome your calls. Give us a ring-a-ling. Mr. Zomers will take your call off the air. Let you know when you're there. We'll put you on. Again, that area code 715, then 388-7155. Give you a second. We'll repeat it one more time in case you want to give us a call. Didn't have a pen and paper. Didn't have your phone in your hand. Happy to tell you again. The number to call in and participate this morning on any topic that you so choose. Area code 715-388-7155. Happy to have you along. President Biden made a fresh call yesterday for new voting protections during remarks in Selma, Alabama, to commemorate the 58th anniversary of the landmark Bloody Sunday March. It galvanized the civil rights movement and helped lead to an expansion of voting rights. Biden's stop in Selma came as he and fellow Democrats have struggled to pass their own sweeping voting rights measures with dim prospects of passage in a newly Republican-controlled House of Representatives. Quote, "I've made it clear I will not let a filibuster obstruct the sacred right to vote, Biden said, amid expectations that he will announce a re-election bid this year. Biden's remarks had the flavor of a campaign speech as he ticked through what he saw as his administration's accomplishments and concluded with what many consider to be as a potential 2024 slogan, let's finish the job. I want to take a minute to just talk about this anniversary, not just Biden's speech, but the more importantly, the 58th anniversary of Bloody Sunday in Selma, Alabama. Was a great kind of throwback interview yesterday on Face the Nation with Margaret Brennan on CBS. Featured former anchor emeritus Bob Schieffer from 2015 talking to then Congressman John Lewis. Longtime political activist, voting rights activist, civil rights activist. Former Congressman John Lewis was there now 58 years ago on Bloody Sunday. Was the first person in the group walking two by two over the bridge to simply demonstrate peacefully and call for equal voting rights. And they were met with state patrol officers, officers on horseback on the other side of the bridge. And they stood there. The protesters did. The peaceful protesters featuring John Lewis. And the white police charged them and started beating them and attacking them. And it wasn't until later that then President Johnson had to give a speech before Congress and promised state patrol protection, which was provided. Not just state patrol, pardon me, but military. Actual active military, National Guard. Which is, I guess, different than active military. But they were armed National Guard military that protected the protesters in Selma when they finished their march all the way to Mobile, Alabama. And thus began some of the most sweeping voting rights, civil rights changes in our country's history. But from that interview in 2015 and to the present today, now the late Congressman John Lewis, who is leftist, he said in that interview in 2015, much has been accomplished, but the work is not finished. And we stand here in 2023 and we say again, the work is not finished. Because if you've heard me talk about this program many times, I myself was witness in the room of Republican legislators when they were giddy and cheerful to introduce legislation in the Wisconsin State Legislature that would help subdue, take away, and deny the constitutional right to vote to segments of Wisconsin voters, including minorities and college students. So the work's not finished. And I think it's important to take a moment to pause and reflect, as my former teacher Andy Spies is fond of saying, and be thankful for people like John Lewis and the countless other nameless people who were also beaten that day, who stood up for democracy, who stood up for voting rights, who stood up for equality. Important to remember what they went through physically, emotionally. That we would not have what we do have today if it had not been for them. But also not to be so blind as to think that everything is great now. No, everybody has. Well, everybody can vote if they want to. Really? Unfortunately, that is becoming less and less true. And unfortunately, there are states across this country under Republican-controlled legislatures, some with Republican governors, who are implementing more voting right restrictions. They're taking away polling places. They're cutting down polling hours. They're making it more difficult for people to vote. And geez, it just so happens that most of the time, those are done in places which are predominantly Black, Latino, Asian populations, or college campuses. Like we've talked about before this show, the introduction by a state legislator in Texas to not allow voting on college campuses in Texas. Because guess what? College campuses tend to vote more Democratic. Or you now have Marjorie Taylor Greene suggesting that if you are a Democrat, a progressive from a blue state, and you move to a red state, you can't vote for 5 years. That's a real thing. She suggested that. A sitting United States congressperson. We'll come back with John Stewart after this. Don't go anywhere. You're not going to want to miss this interview. The Tom Allball Show. This is Civic Media. Show this 8:33. In case you're wondering, that is the theme song from Parks and Rec. Had a great conversation with friends of mine last night. People who know me, they understand me. They're kind of my quasi kitchen cabinet of executive producers. Came up with a bit we're going to do for this summer, an ongoing bit. Have working on it. It may be Parks and Rec, not Parks and Rec, but Parks and Rec. I'm not sure. It's spectacular. We'll have more details on it. Won't start until the summer, so it's a ways off. But it's one of those ideas you're like, yes, that's exactly what we need. And I think everybody's going to love it. So we'll talk more about that in the weeks to come. Maybe give you a little preview from time to time. I want to talk about something I think that you're going to enjoy. It might frustrate you a little bit, make you think. But again, to set this up over the weekend, John Stewart, a former host of The Daily Show on Comedy Central, has a new show out called The Problem with John Stewart. And he takes it to this state senator on gun issues. So stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss it. But first of all, it is 8:34 and time for our daily update of weather from weatherology meteorologist who celebrated a birthday, but apparently she didn't party too hard because she's back with us. It is Kara Foster. Kara, happy birthday and welcome back.
Hey, thank you. Happy to be, awake enough for a Monday.
Well, you must have been able
to. Also, Parks and Rec is my favorite show, by the way.
Is it really? Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, this is a spectacular idea. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have more details later. But did you celebrate a little bit? Family, friends, just kind of chill out? What did you do for your birthday?
Yeah, saw some family, then saw some friends, and it was a very kind of like laid back weekend, which is what I'm just fine with. I work a lot, so I'm liking to get out and not do a ton, but just enough to where, I get to see some people and hang out a little bit. And then my boyfriend's birthday is tomorrow, so we usually have
a conjoined
kind of little birthday thing. We saw some friends together on Saturday night, and then I'll have something for him this weekend. He surprised me on my birthday, and then I'll have him something for him this weekend because it's on a Tuesday. Can't really do much for Tuesday, but it'll be fun. So it's kind of like a two-weekend type of deal, which is really nice.
That's great. You have a double-week birthday. It's kind of a joint celebration. That's awesome. Oh, good for you. Right. Are we going to be celebrating are we going to celebrate the weather at all, Kara, or is it just going to be not so much?
Unfortunately, yeah, not so much. I will say the weekend will be better than the week. I mean, our weekends tend to save us a little bit the last like few weeks, really. Honestly, the whole winter, it seems like the weekends have been a little bit nicer, which is good.
Yeah.
Tend to save us from our weeks because we usually get some sort of system moving through. This week is going to be an interesting one. It's not one system. It's going to be several little systems moving through, basically very scattered. So it's going to be a little bit hard to kind of know kind of how much snow is coming throughout much of the state quite yet. I will tell you that the main days we are looking at is basically Thursday into Friday seem to be the biggest kind of quote events that we're kind of looking at. But basically starting from like Tuesday Tuesday night or Wednesday morning, I should say, and then going up until Friday night, we're expecting at least a chance for snow. So it's not my favorite forecast to give, especially after we're already looking at this one system that's still kind of moving through. Fortunately, this system actually was not as bad as we were expecting it to be. There were some heavy spots. There were some mixed precipitation, obviously some accumulation as well, but fortunately didn't linger as long as we were expecting it to. Now, that being said, we do still have a winter weather advisory for basically the central and northern portion of the state until this afternoon. So over in Amory, that's until about 3. In Wausau, it's until about noon. So it does kind of vary depending where you are on the, in the state. But temperatures are not half bad. We are still in the mid-30s, reaching 37 for our high today in Amory, 35 in Wausau, and we're still at 42 today in Richland Center. And if you're anywhere south of basically that center line of the state and below, you're going to stay pretty clear for the most part today. Just a lot of clouds, unfortunately, just going to be lingering there. Everyone else can still expect that kind of chance for snow slash drizzle kind of throughout the day, but not too much else going on. So it's not going to be too much added on to what we've already seen. Then as we head into tonight, cloudy and 23 for Amory. We'll see some scattered showers until about midnight for Wausau, but it's only going to be some flurries. We'll dip down to 22 and then mostly cloudy 28 for Richland Center. Now, basically, Tuesday is going to be a little bit of a break. We might see some sunshine, going to stay cloudy, still highs in the upper 30s, lower 40s. Same with Tuesday night, still just cloudy, lows in the mid-20s. Then as we head into Wednesday, we'll see that chance for some snow. Basically, throughout the state, it's going to be pretty scattered, like I said, to start off with, pretty light as well. It will slowly increase day by day, so Wednesday night's a little bit more of a chance throughout the state, very, very scattered. Thursday, it will kind of hike it up a little bit more. Might see some winds throughout the state as well out of the east, gusting as high as 30. And then Thursday night for sure seeing several inches of accumulation throughout much of the state. I won't give too much as to kind of how much quite yet, just because we are a few days away. That could definitely change and shift a little bit to either a little bit less or a little bit more. So I don't want to give too much so that it completely erases what I say. But I will say Thursday night and then Friday seem to be the two kind of sections of this week that are going to bring us the most accumulation. Then thankfully, immediately after that, we do taper off. And like I said, have a nicer weekend. Highs will be in the 30s during the day and then a little bit cooler in the overnight hours, just due to that kind of front boundary, or I guess the back end of that system will be bringing us a little bit cooler. But right. I mean, it's still winter.
All right.
We're still going to hang on a little bit here.
All right. Thank you, Carol. We really appreciate you. Talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Karis Foster there from Weatherology. Want to go immediately to this interview with John Stewart. The problem with John Stewart, he is interviewing this guy from Texas, State Senator Nathan Dom, Republican of Oklahoma, who has penned several bills loosening gun restrictions. Here is the interview with John Stewart, the problem with John Stewart from Apple TV.
I'm a strong proponent of the Second Amendment. Uh-huh. I believe the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Uh-huh. That's the one right that's listed in the Constitution that uses that very specific affirmative language, shall not be infringed.
Well, it's also the one right that uses the phrase well-regulated.
Correct, when it's talking about the militia and the state.
By the way, just for clarity's sake,
yeah.
I'm not against the Second Amendment. I don't want to ban guns. But you're saying more guns makes us more safe.
Yes.
So when we got 400 million guns in the country, we had an increase and gun deaths went up. So when exactly does this curve hit that takes it down? Would a billion guns do it?
Let's just run those numbers. 400 million, 50,000.
Uh-huh.
You're talking about a less than a fraction of not even a percent, of a hundredth of a percent.
But it goes up, not down. So your argument is backwards.
But if you want, okay, so let's come up with a solution, okay? So one of the issues, a contributing factor, again, I believe it's the individual that is the problem.
So your solution to that is give them more guns.
So I'm saying that because people are the problem, we need to look at the problems that those people are facing and how do we address it.
But you've removed the ability for the state to do that.
No, because you're...
If you don't have background checks, mm-hmm, and you don't have registration and permitting, how do you know who has a problem in terms of the people who you're giving a gun to?
Do you want to talk about the background checks first, or do you want to talk about solutions first?
I want to talk about what you're doing is you're bringing chaos to order.
That's your subjective opinion, that it's bringing chaos to order.
It's not my subjective opinion. We have 50,000 gun-related deaths. That's not a subjective opinion.
Okay, so
that's dead people. Let me back up for a second. In every other place in your life, you want to bring order, but guns are the outlier for you. So let's start with immigration. You want registration, maybe a wall, maybe not a wall. Why do you want that?
Well, one of the reasons is because of the fentanyl crisis.
Right. I mean,
okay, but...
You don't know when it's coming across. So what do you
do? But the fentanyl crisis is twice what the gun death crisis is.
Okay, so until the gun crisis gets to the fentanyl level...
Not until it.
You don't want to bring order.
No, not until it. But...
But do you see my point?
If we're going to talk about protecting lives, that's a larger issue in America than guns is. If we're talking about individual lives of ways that they can be protected, loss of life in America, there's loss of life through fentanyl. There's loss of life through obesity. The obesity crisis in America costs six times the number of lives as guns.
Right, and you're the guy saying, you know what would help this? Ice cream.
No. So, you know what would help the problem that we're facing with firearms?
What?
The fatherlessness crisis that we have in America. If you look at the statistics...
Right. Yeah, they're dying from gun deaths.
80% of school shooters either came from a broken or fatherless home.
Uh-huh. So you would say no guns for fatherless homes?
No, that's not what I would say. Oh. I would say that fathers need to be more engaged.
Great.
If they don't have a father in the home.
Let's put more resources into areas that are poverty-stricken. All for it.
And into fatherlessness. And that's something that we're doing
in Oklahoma. But why with guns are you against bringing order?
I'm not against bringing order.
You are. You're also making it less safe for cops and for people. When the police go to a domestic call, it's the most dangerous call they can go on.
Mm-hmm.
In your world, if they knew that there were firearms in the house, that's a safer call. Is that what you're saying?
No, because police...
Because why?
Because police treat every situation as a potential...
But more guns makes us safer. So why don't, when the police go to a house filled with guns, why don't they breathe a sigh of relief knowing that this... Second Amendment that shall not be infringed is being exercised so fruitfully in this home.
Are you familiar with the 39-year-old woman in New Jersey?
I'm familiar with a ton of anecdotes.
This is not an anecdote,
when
John.
When the police
this actually happened,
go to a house...
She had a restraining order on her ex-boyfriend.
I can run through...
I know, we can
hundreds
run through
and
that.
Hundreds of examples of women killed by their domestic partners by guns that were not taken away through the lessening of red flag laws. You're pivoting to anecdotes.
No, this is not anecdotes.
What the police say, if we had gun registration, if we were able to track purchases, they have a technology that every bullet would be stamped with an individual like a fingerprint. If we had an ATF that wasn't defunded, we would be able to enforce gun laws more effectively, and we would be able to solve gun crimes more effectively. You're against all of that.
Because the person is the threat, not the firearm, not the knife.
I get it.
The person and the individual is the one that is the concern here.
But you don't want anything that could help law enforcement or society determine whether or not a person is a good guy with a gun or a bad guy with a gun.
Most even law enforcement.
The registry would allow you to have much more effective background checks.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand why you won't just admit that you are making it harder for police to manage the streets by allowing all of these guns to go out without permits, without checks, and without background stuff. Why is that hard? Why can't you just stand by that?
Because that's not what I'm doing. I'm defending the individual's right to keep and bear arms.
That's a different argument.
Okay, but
you may do. Here's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
You want to say I'm a Second Amendment purist and I'm making it safer. You're not. You're making it more chaotic. And that's not a matter of opinion. That's the truth.
That is a matter of opinion, John.
But why take away their tools?
Because certain of their tools that they're using would be infringements upon the people's right to keep and bear arms, upon their constitutional rights, upon due process,
you're saying
upon other things.
That registering is an infringement?
Yes.
Okay. Is voting a right?
It's a right for citizens, yes.
Do you have to do anything to do it?
Yes.
What do you have to do?
It depends on the state.
What do you have to do?
Sometimes you have to be at least 18 years old.
What do you have to do?
And
keep
in
going.
Some places you have to have a government-issued ID.
What do you have to?
You have to be on the voter rolls.
Register. You have to register.
Hmm?
So you have to register to a right. Is that an infringement?
Does the right to voting say shall not be infringed?
Oh, so this is just a semantic argument now.
No, it's not.
You believe voting rights can be infringed because it doesn't say specifically shall not be infringed.
Is it an infringement upon a 17-year-old's right to vote since they don't have that right to vote?
No.
Oh, it's not an infringement on them?
No, okay. Absolutely not.
Why not?
Because you're the one making the argument, not me. I'm saying even rights have responsibilities, and that within those responsibilities and order, otherwise it's chaotic. I'll go you one further. You want to ban drag show readings to children.
To my house, yes.
Why?
Why? What are you...
All right, so we're going to stop it right there for a second because weatherology went a little bit long and Todd wasn't looking at the clock. And so we're going to take this hard break. We can't control when we go to breaks, unfortunately. So we're on the network, which is fine. So we have to stop it here. And then we're going to come back. We're going to pick it up. This is John Stewart from The Problem with John Stewart interviewing State Senator Nathan Dom, Republican of Oklahoma, on several bills that he has penned in Oklahoma that would get rid of red flag laws. Basically, just anybody who wants to have a gun can carry it anytime, anywhere. Talk with you more on the other side of the break. This is the Todd Allbowl Show, and this is the Civic Media on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tonight...
Welcome back to the Todd Allbowl Show. It is 8:50 here on a Monday, the 6th of March, 2023. Glad to have you along with us. Before the break there, we are playing this interview this morning from John Stewart. The Problem with John Stewart is the name of the show. Host John Stewart, formerly the host of The Daily Show on Comedy Central. You can find the program, The Problem with John Stewart, on Apple TV. And they released a trailer, if you will, a segment. This is the segment we're playing for you this morning. They released over the weekend of season two, and this interview that John Stewart is doing with a state senator from Oklahoma, Republican Nathan Dom. And Senator Dom has authored several bills loosening gun restrictions in Oklahoma, including the nation's first anti-red flag law. He thinks these bills protect the Second Amendment and they'll make us safer. And I, like John Stewart, do not believe in just an outright ban of guns. I've said this program before. I have hunting rifles. I have a shotgun. I have a .22. I enjoy hunting. No problem with that. I believe that people should be able to have a handgun for self-protection and protecting your home and whatnot. But this guy not only isn't in favor of any gun control, he wants to get rid of the little bit of gun control that's still there. So John Stewart, we're going to pick up the interview and we're going to finish this. This is John Stewart with the interview on The Problem with John Stewart.
Determine whether or not a person is a good guy with a gun or a bad guy with a gun.
Most even law enforcement.
The registry would allow you to have much more effective background checks. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand why you won't just admit that you are making it harder for police to manage the streets by allowing all of these guns to go out without permits, without checks, and without background stuff. Why is that hard? Why can't you just stand by that?
Because that's not what I'm doing. I'm defending the individual's right to keep and bear arms.
That's a different argument.
Okay,
well, here's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. You want to say I'm a Second Amendment purist and I'm making it safer. You're not. You're making it more chaotic. And that's not a matter of opinion. That's the truth.
That is a matter of opinion, John.
But why take away their tools?
Because certain of their tools that they're using would be infringements upon the people's right to keep and bear arms, upon their constitutional rights, upon due process,
you're saying
upon other things.
That registering is an infringement?
Yes.
Okay. Is voting a right?
It's a right for citizens, yes.
Do you have to do anything to do it?
Yes.
What do you have to do?
It depends on the state.
What do you have to do?
Sometimes you have to be at least 18 years old.
What do you have to do?
And
keep
in
going.
Some places you have to have a government-issued ID.
What do you have to?
You have to be on the voter rolls?
Register. You have to register. Hmm? So you have to register to a right. Is that an infringement?
Does the right to voting say shall not be infringed?
Oh, so this is just a semantic argument now.
No, it's not.
You believe voting rights can be infringed because it doesn't say specifically shall not be infringed.
Is it an infringement upon a 17-year-old's right to vote, since they don't have that right to vote?
No.
Oh, it's not an infringement on them?
No, okay. Absolutely not.
Why not?
Because you're the one making the argument, not me. I'm saying even rights have responsibilities, and that within those responsibilities,
responsibilities
and order, otherwise it's chaotic. I'll go you one further. You want to ban drag show readings to children.
To my house, yes.
Why? What are you protecting?
Why can we prohibit children from voting, those under 18 from voting?
Why are you banning, is that free speech? Are you infringing on that performer's free speech?
They can continue to exercise their free speech, just not in front of a child.
Why?
Because the government does have a responsibility to protect.
I'm sorry?
The government does have a responsibility in certain instances to
protect
children.
What's the leading cause of death amongst children in this country? And I'm going to give you a hint. It's not drag show readings to children.
Correct, yes.
So what is it?
I'm presuming you're going to say it's firearms.
No, I'm not going to say it like it's an opinion. That's what it is. It's firearms. More than cancer, more than car accidents. And what you're telling me is you don't mind infringing free speech to protect children from this amorphous thing that you think of. But when it comes to children that have died, you don't give a flying to stop that because that shall not be infringed. That is hypocrisy at its highest order.
That is Jon Stewart on The Problem with Jon Stewart on Apple TV, a segment they released over the weekend, the second season of The Problem with Jon Stewart, now streaming on Apple TV. Now that, my friends, is called a masterclass, a TED Talk, a Jedi master of interview skills, showing how to hold lawmakers accountable.
Well, he definitely has the high ground.
I wanted to play. I know it was long, but that's the privilege and the honor and the benefit of having this show be 3 hours, that we can do stuff like this. We can bring you things that other programming, other mediums can't. And I think it's important for you to hear without screaming, without name calling, just when you hold people accountable, elected officials, with the facts. That's what you should do. I mean, this is the debate we're having in this country right now. And again, this is not a get rid of all guns for, you know, that's not my message at all. I'm all for having, you know, legal firearms for hunting, for self-protection, things like that.
But I think just like Jon Stewart said, you can have a hunting rifle or a shotgun for, I don't know, hunting different birds or things like that, and just have it registered. And if you're just using it for hunting, why do you care if there's like a essentially fingerprint on each bullet that you fire? Because they're not looking at it anyway. It's not going to cost you anymore. It's just going to add safety when there is a crime.
Yeah. And actually, on the whole fingerprinting bullet thing, I'm not even sure that I'm in favor personally of that, because I can understand where someone breaks into your car, somebody breaks into your truck, steals your ammunition, now supposedly with your identity on it, and they go commit a crime, and, you know, they recover the bullet casing, and the first thing the police are going to come to you, well, you're a suspect now. So I get the whole, I'm not so sure that we need to have every piece of ammunition identified with a personal fingerprint on it. But what I am in favor of are things like red flag laws, saying that if you are part of a domestic disturbance and you have a police record and you have shown that you have an anger problem, you should certainly have a waiting period, if not be allowed to buy a firearm. I don't think there's any hunter worth their salt, any sports person worth their salt, who says, yeah, I'm going hunting tomorrow and I totally forgot to get a firearm, a weapon, and so I need to go buy, you know, a .30-06 tomorrow because I'm going, or today because I'm going hunting tomorrow. You know, I hunted since I was 12. Usually real hunters plan. You know, when you go on a hunt, it's a long, arduous thing. It's part of the fun of going hunting. You plan it out. Your food, if you're going to travel, a camping situation, if you're going to be with friends, you have a menu. Hey, did you get your license? Hey, did you get your ammunition? Are you set to go? No legitimate sports person just needs to go out and buy. There's nothing wrong with having waiting periods. That's the stuff I'm talking about, and that's the stuff Jon Stewart was really emphasizing there. Take your phone calls and more. Stay with us. The second hour is ahead. This is the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Beer, sing a song, make a friend. Can't we all get along?